to die on a cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." Said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no words that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. We're going to be getting started in just a couple of minutes. Glad you're here today.
was living, no thought was I giving of dying, and where I would go, I was looking in vain. So hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No.
Amen. Are you going to hell? You don't have to.
Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, because heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying. He's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name.
He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords.
Amen.
That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him. So yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
Well, happy Friday and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we're going to be talking about the Biden administration. We're going to be talking about QAnon. We're going to be talking about Lady Gaga and that strange bird that she had on her shirt. We're going to talk about the New World Order and the Illuminati. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we will break down the entire Biden inauguration for you, show you all the New World Order and Illuminati symbolism that was proudly put on display, and get you up to speed with all the draconian executive orders that are already in place. It is all theater, what is unfolding before us right now. All of it staged for maximum effect, but with deadly real-world ramifications. America is now in the hands of her enemies, and what comes next will be particularly hard to take. But America must fall. That's right, I said, America must fall so that the New World Order can rise. And this is exactly what is happening right now. Today we're going to get you up to speed, and we're glad that you're here. Trojan horse and soon to be the recipient of the 25th Amendment, Joe Biden, was sworn in as president on Wednesday. And from an end times perspective, it was everything that we hoped it would be, and more. And as we repeatedly told you in the weeks leading up, none of the things in all those QAnon emails forwarded between so many people came true on any level. You can trust the plan till the cows come home, but the storm is not coming. What is coming, though, will blow your mind, and all of it is very, very real. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you." Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask for your blessing on today's program. We ask, Lord, with the hundreds of people in the chat room right now and the thousands of people listening around the world, we just, Lord, people are hungry for the truth. And we know that your word is truth. And we know that your word is, you put your word, Father, even above that of your own name. And we praise you for that. And today, God, we stand on the authority of your preserved word as found inside the pages of the King James Holy Bible, the authorized version, where the word of a king is, there is power. And we ask for that power today, Father God. Give me power to preach and teach and to expose the lies of the enemy. And Lord, we pray a special blessing on everybody who's listening right now who was deceived by those emails and by QAnon and all that garbage and all that junk. We don't condemn our brothers and sisters, Father God. How many of us have been deceived in days past? And Lord, your word has very, very clear instruction for what we need to do now. And Lord, we just lift up this time And comfort those people, Lord, with hurting hearts today, and take away their confusion, that confusion that was put in their minds by Q in those emails. Remove it and heal them and restore these people, Lord. We don't want to see friendships broken and people mad at each other, and we don't want to see any of that junk. That's the work of the enemy. So, Lord, today I personally pray that you, Lord, would rebuke QAnon, and you would rebuke the demonic lies that have been told. And I pray for full restoration and full healing from every one of my Christian brothers and sisters, born-again Bible believers who were duped by that, Lord. And meet with us now, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very glad to see you're all here. Right off the bat, before we get started talking about the Biden administration and the Hunger Games, and man, oh man, do we have some good stuff to talk about today. I'm all charged up. I'm ready to go. I hope you are as well. But Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31 say this. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? The prophet Jeremiah was talking about false prophets, and false prophets that the people gladly received. And even in our day, and in every dispensation, there are false prophets in the midst. And we have warned against these people. Absolutely, we have. We told you about this guy. His name is Albert. And let me just pull up the article real fast. We told you about this YouTube prophet, and there were lots of these people. The YouTube prophets who all said that Donald Trump was going to become the next president, and you could count on that, and that was a guarantee. This guy, Albert Milton, maybe some of you know this guy. And sadly, he got thousands of people to believe him. And I wrote about this man, this fraud, on December 5th of 2020. And I told you that these YouTube prophets are fakes, and you should not believe these people. A lot of people got mad at me. I was not being judgmental. I was not pointing fingers. I was trying to help you. I was trying to warn you. I was trying to show you that there were deceivers in the camp that needed to be identified. So Albert Milton said that God gave him a vision, and that Donald Trump absolutely would be sworn in as our next president. Albert Milton was not giving you a vision or revelation from God. Albert Milton was giving you revelation from the anonymous emails that went around. And I just want to read a couple of lines from those emails, and let's see if you were one of those people that either received them or sent them out. Tell me if this sounds familiar. This morning at midnight, Trump was supposed to go on Michael Pompeo's Twitter to start broadcasting every 15 minutes or every 2 hours. The military that's with him, that has appointed him since 2000, did not want him to do this this morning, because events that took place in Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Vatican, and Ireland, now with lights going out to start arresting. And the email goes on to say there's a curfew in Quebec, Canada, from 8 till 5. The National Guard and regular troops are being deployed by the hundreds to California. How about this one? At midnight last night and early today, the Insurrection Act was passed. This time, it is not a drill. You have heard it here first, but Michael Flynn, there's a 95% chance that he is going to be the next president, the next vice president under Donald Trump. And have you heard this one? 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, Pope Francis was arrested. When people see the Pope, it will be a real-life hologram. Catholic Church will be killed by this. How many of you received an email that sounded like that, or maybe even that exact same email. Those are not revelations from God. What I just read to you was not wisdom that could be obtained by reading the King James Bible. What I just read to you has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. What I read to you was talking points from a group called QAnon. And these people are liars. I'm not talking about their followers. I'm talking about the leaders. QAnon is built on lies. It is based on lies. I warned you about that last year with this article. Do not be fooled by the vague and empty promises of QAnon, who twist Bible prophecy and vainly attempt to make America the focal point. One of the things about QAnon is they are post-millennial. They are post-toasties. Why do I say that? Because QAnon believes that this world is going to get better and better and better and better, and we're going to clean it up, and we're going to bring in the kingdom. That's what QAnon believes. That's what they have always believed. And that is a lie. That's a lie spiritually, biblically, prophetically. It's even a lie politically. This world is not going to get better and better. This world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. There's no revival coming. Now, here at Now the End Begins, we have been experiencing a little bit of a remnant revival, absolutely, and we praise the Lord for that. But in terms of a international or even a nationwide revival, don't hold your breath. It's not coming. And that's not my opinion. Okay? Don't tell me that that's my opinion. The reason why I say that there's not revival coming, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, and if we can believe the testimony of Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but I believe every word he's ever said. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, shows us the condition of the last church before the rapture. Revelation 13, starting in verse 14, shows us the spiritual temperature of the last church age before the rapture takes place. And this is what Jesus says about our time, 2021, the closing days of the church age. This is what Jesus says. And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." He is faithful and true, and I believe everything he says. "The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." He's talking to the church. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Why? "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Here's the solution. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." This is the message I want to give to all the people who sent those emails out. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Get your mind out of QAnon. They are lying to you. They have lied to you. They are continuing to lie to you. QAnon is a psyop. It is not real. It is not happening. It is not true. It is meant to deceive you. It is meant to get you off the track. QAnon doesn't have any revelation from God. All these YouTube prophets don't have any revelation from God. They are lying to you. Absolutely lying to you. Lita is saying in the chat room, "Isn't Q pointing us towards Nisarga-Gesara law?" Absolutely, and the Noahide laws. But that's all part of the one world order. That's all part of the new world order. Okay? So Jesus says this in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant with me to sit. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And that just happens to be verses 20 and 21, by the way. I'm sure that that's just an amazing coincidence, but there it is, verses 20 and 21. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. Are you going to open the door for him? And you may say, but I'm already saved. Revelation 3 is talking to saved people. For far too long, the church has used Revelation 3:20 as a metaphor when we witness to people who are lost and we say, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And spiritually speaking, that's true. But doctrinally speaking, Jesus is telling people within the church, saved believers who have become part of the Laodicean church age, who have become lukewarm, and they are trusting in material things. He is saying, I stand at the door and knock. If any man inside the church hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, are you going to open the door for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Many, many, many of us here at Now the End Begins have already opened that door. Now the End Begins started with the opening of that door and me wanting to jump into the fray and get on fire for God and to get something done for the Lord in these end times. And man, oh man, over the last 12 years, have I had to overcome a lot of opposition, some opposition from without and a whole lot of opposition from within. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Verses 25 and 26, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25 and 26. And if you were a believer in QAnon, if you shared those emails, if you believe those emails, these two verses I want to give to you today. 2 Timothy 2, 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they, are you listening? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who were taken captive by him at his will. QAnon is from the devil. QAnon and their stupid, baseless, groundless, demonic prophecies are satanic. And if this offends you, then you need to be offended. If me saying these things causes you to break fellowship with me or with this ministry, then you need to break fellowship. Because what I'm telling you is going to save your spiritual life. This is no joke. This is how people get cast aside and can no longer be used by the Lord. When you reject Bible truth and you replace it with the prophets from YouTube, you're going to wind up in a ditch. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you just may be put on the shelf because the Lord can't use you if you're more willing to repeat lies from QAnon than you are to stand on the authority of the King James Bible. And Paul, dispensationally correct and rightly dividing, Paul in 2 Timothy 2 tells you to recover yourself. How about that? Paul tells you and me that when we fall off the track, to recover ourselves. You got yourself in the ditch. You're saved. You have the Holy Spirit. Now get yourself up out of that ditch. And let me share with you a story that happened to me 30 years ago. And I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of you. I have always been King James only. I got saved with the Gideon's King James Bible. And if you want to read my testimony, just go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to the About section, and scroll down till you see the tab for my personal testimony. But Even though that I was King James only, when I got saved, I didn't have a Christian church. I wasn't led to the Lord by Christian believers. I was led to the Lord by the Holy Spirit through the King James Bible. There were no humans that were helping me in that process, at least none that I was aware of, and none that I'm aware of 30 years later. It was just me, the Lord, and the King James Bible, and that's really all that you need. But because I didn't have good, godly Christian people around me, I began to listen to Christian radio, and he's dead now, but some of you may remember Harold Camping from a radio station called Family Radio out in Northern California. And Family Radio is still broadcasting. They've been on the air for half a century. But Harold Camping believed he was a post-millennialist. He was a post-toasty, and he believed that everything happened when Jesus returned at the second coming. He didn't believe in the rapture of the church. He didn't believe in the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble with the 3.5-year back end of the Great Tribulation. Harold Camping believed that everything happened all at the same time, and he just mushed everything together. And because I didn't have other people in my life to tell me the truth, I bought his book, I listened to his radio program, and I became a believer in this theory that he had. Now, I got saved in 1991, and he wrote a book called 1994, and he said that that the world was going to end in 1994, and this was why he wrote a 300-page book. I loved to read. I bought the book. I believed what he said. Most of it I had to take on faith, because I was a brand new believer, and he sounded so authoritative. If you remember listening to his open forum program that was on the air for like 40 years, where he would just take people's questions live on the air, and I became a true believer in Harold Camping's prophecy of the world ending in 1994. Well, after I had been doing this for a while and I got involved with Family Radio, I have never been a sideline type of person. I like to be part of the game. I like to be involved. I like to be where the action is. And even back when I was a baby Christian, after I was listening to Harold Camping for a while, I got on the phone and I said, hey, I would love to be a part of the Family Radio family. And they interviewed me, and I was preaching in homeless shelters, and even back then I was trying to get something done for the Lord, and everything was going great. And then I found a church, I found a Baptist church, and I've always been a Baptist since I got saved. And inside that Baptist church, when I shared my views on Harold Camping, there were some more mature brothers in that church, and they very gently told me that everything that Harold Camping was talking about, according to the Bible, was not true, and it was not going to happen. But you couldn't convince me, because by this point, I had swallowed the whole thing hook, line, and sinker, a lot like those of you who believe those emails. A lot like those of you who believe that Donald Trump is going to come back and seize power, and he's going to be sworn in, and Joe Biden's going to be arrested and all that stuff. None of that is true, and none of that is going to happen. That's a guarantee. You can write that down. None of that will happen. Donald Trump may come back in a reality TV show. He may come back as the leader of the Patriot Party. But I don't think he's ever going to be president of the United States again. And we've been talking about that for a couple of years now. But the point of what I'm trying to tell you is, and believe me, if you've fallen victim to the lies of QAnon and those silly emails, that's exactly what happened to me 30 years ago with Harold Camping in 1994. I believed that something was not true, and I believed it with all my heart. And it was sad, and it wound up when I found out, of course, we got to June 7th of 1994, and I found out that none of those things that Harold Camping talked about came to pass, none of them. And then June gave way to July, and 94 gave way to 1995, and Harold Camping was proven to be a liar. And I believed prophecies from a liar. And it broke my heart. So I have all the empathy in the world for everybody that I'm talking to right now, born again saved Christians who believed things, that we're talking about today. And what I had to do 27 years ago is what you have to do right now. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's what those Christian brothers in that First Baptist church that I was a member of, that's what they did for me. They didn't point fingers. They didn't make fun of me. They didn't mock me. And I'm not doing any of those things today to you. I am not pointing fingers. I'm not saying I told you so. I am simply saying it is time to recover yourselves out of the snare of the devil. I had to do it 27 years ago, and every single person who's listening to me right now, who's been sharing those emails, you need to do the same thing. If I had to do it when I was wrong, you have to do it when you're wrong right now. And again, I have sympathy, I have compassion, I have empathy, but when it comes to Q, I am boiling mad. I am furious with QAnon. And I am going to do everything that I can to destroy their organization. Not physically, I don't have that type of power. But man oh man, Q is now on the enemies list. And I label them a satanic organization. Not because they're connected with the Church of Satan, but because they pretend to be on the side of Jesus Christ, and they are not. They are liars. They are absolutely liars. There is no question about it. And so today, I want you, if you have fallen victim to those things, you need to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. You need to repent of sharing those emails, believing those lies, and spreading those lies. And that's really all I have to say about that. But again, please, I'm not being judgmental. I'm not saying I told you so. God has placed me in this position that now the end begins, literally on the front lines of the end times. And I say these things, as Paul would say, not to shame you, but to warn you. We are in a battle. And if you don't get back on the right track, you're going to get shot, spiritually speaking. And I don't want that for you. I don't want to see you set aside. You need to repent of QAnon and those emails and that junk. This type of wickedness is much worse than drinking and smoking and fornicating and lying and cheating and stealing. All those things are sins, absolutely, and all those things need to be repented of, absolutely, no question about it. But this type of sin is a spiritual sin that can cause other people to believe a lie. And you do not want to be found teaching lies in the name of God. So I want you to think about that, and I want you to pray about that. I'm praying for you. I want to help you. And I want, we all need to get past this, because if you can't get past QAnon, if you can't recognize that for the lie that it is, how are you going to do when the New World Order, which is now, and we're talking about that today, when the New World Order is right in your face and you're being faced with mandatory vaccines? Don't you want to be standing on the truth of God's Word and not on the shaky, shallow ground of the lies of QAnon? Because if you can't throw off those lies, you're going to be in a whole world of spiritual trouble, and you're not going to be prepared for what comes next. I want to play this clip for you. This clip is from Shepard Smith. I think he's at MSNBC. But it very well shows the position of the followers of QAnon. Take a listen.
Followers of the pro-Trump conspiracy cult QAnon did a bit of unraveling after President Biden's inauguration. You see, to them, it was never going to happen. Instead, QAnon supporters said they believed there would be a coup on Inauguration Day. Donald Trump would declare martial law. There would be military tribunals and mass executions of his enemies. The former president was supposed to be in power forever. Well, now the QAnoners are desperate, disillusioned, some baffled, some giving up. When Mr. Biden was sworn in, one wrote, "I don't think this is supposed to happen. How long does it take the feds to run up the stairs and arrest him?" Another wrote, "It's like being a kid and seeing the big gift under the tree, only to realize it was a lump of coal the whole time." NBC's investigative reporter, Brandi Zadrozny, is with us now, follows QAnon. Brandi, the whole big cult-like lie is splintering now. Where are the pieces falling?
Yeah, like you said, for QAnon adherents, it was a really sad day. They didn't get mass execution. All they got was a really lovely inauguration. So they sort of devolved. Some were despondent, like the tweets you just showed, like the messages you just showed. But they really fell into three buckets. One is they're sticking with Q. People have rallied around sort of the wreckage and are building a new, moving the goalposts, building a new judgment day. And so it's going to be in 7 days or 30 days or a year. They'll keep doing that. They'll be with Q forever. There are some groups that are being recruited into more extreme groups. White supremacist channels are actively recruiting QAnon people. And then you have people that are really fed up and that are sort of looking for an off-ramp here. And you can tell by their tweets saying, you know, I spent so much time, I wasted my family on this. I'm over it. So,
Brandi, is there a top line on how all these people got caught up in this load of nothingness?
The story of QAnon is really a story with lots of chapters. And so for a lot of people got involved in 2018 because it was like a sort of game on the internet where they got to decode clues. And then you had people that got involved around the time of the pandemic when they started getting involved in anti-lockdown protests and getting involved in that way. And then you had a whole new group of people that came in during Stop the Steal and during the idea that was touted by the president that the election had been stolen from him. That narrative was actually being pushed by QAnon's largest influencer, who now has given up, actually. He was the guy that ran the QAnon board, yeah. And yesterday he threw in the towel.
Does anything change now that the former president is the former president?
Absolutely. You know, I think that last August we had Donald Trump say from the White House that QAnon people, he didn't know much about them. And this is after QAnon adherents had already committed major crimes. He didn't know anything about them. They seemed like they were against pedophilia and liked him. And then, you know, a couple of days later, you had then acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf also say they were not a significant threat. Now, you know, we hear differently. We hear Biden saying he's going to root out these conspiracy theories. We have Biden's new director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, say that they could play a critical role in the U.S. intelligence response to QAnon and other right-wing threats. So you can tell after what happened at the Capitol, people are taking this seriously in the Biden administration.
Shepard Smith here. Thanks for watching.
All right, so there you have Shepard Smith, who has jumped ship from Fox News last year, and he's now with the liberals. He's always been a liberal. Fox News is filled with liberals. I stopped watching Fox News about 3 years ago. I still like to listen to Tucker, and I'll listen to his clips on YouTube, but I turned off fake Fox News 3 years ago, and you should do it as well. Speaking of things that are fake, I was sent this link, and I'm going to show it to you guys here. And this is from a website that's called The Marshall Report. And a lot of you who believe in QAnon have sent me this link. And I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from this website. And just to let you know that if you've received this link, this website, this page has some things that are true, and it's mixed in with a lot of lies. And it's called Trump Ode to the Corporation. D.C. is fenced off, and the president is never going back to the White House, but not for reasons you may be thinking. There will be a new capital built and an end to income taxes paid to the tax collectors of the corporation that is now in the hands of the new administration. They went to all the trouble to steal a corporation whose assets are in the process of being seized. Most did not see this coming, for they did not even know that their nation was a corporation. So this goes on to talk about the 1871 Act of Sedition, and talking about how the United States has become a corporation and the assets are being seized. And it says here, President Donald J. Trump has moved out permanently from the White House because he cannot be president over a sovereign nation in a foreign land, which is what the White House and the Capitol are. President Trump was voted in by we the people, not the corporation. After Donald J. Trump exits the White House, D.C. will be locked down because it will not be possible for a foreign ruler to rule over a sovereign country. Therefore, the foreign ruler must be locked out. This is not true. The things that are on this website, the Marshall Report, and again, a number of you have sent me this link. Not true. The United States is not a corporation. There's no board of directors. Now, where it gets confusing for people, and this is why you have to stand on the authority of the King James Bible, and you have to understand Bible prophecy, or you're going to be confused each and every time. Was the election stolen? Absolutely, yes, it was. Is the deep state real? 100% the deep state is real. Is the swamp a real thing? No doubt about it. It absolutely is. Is Washington, D.C. hopelessly corrupted and taken over by a scheming group of global elites who want to tear her down to bring in the New World Order? That is 100,000% true. And we have warned you about this for the last 12 years. And so what happens with websites like the Marshall Report and with these QAnon emails is that some of the things that they talk about are true. The election was stolen, but Trump's side was never able to present the proper proof. He had a very bad legal team. I wouldn't trust Sidney Powell to defend me against a parking ticket. She was terrible. She was horrible. She made all these claims and then couldn't back up a single thing that she said. And when she first started talking, I listened to her, and I'm like, wow, this woman really knows what she's talking about, and boy, she's going to bring the crack in. Well, it's more like she was smoking the crack in, because everything that she said, she couldn't prove. So, Trump had a bad legal team. He had bad people around him. But right from the very beginning, Trump had bad people around him. That's why he was constantly firing people. And one of the great mistakes that Donald Trump made is that when he became president, he didn't clean out the White House. He allowed dozens and dozens and dozens of Obama-era people to stay in. And so right from day one, Trump, because he didn't clean house, was surrounded with leaks and traitors and backstabbers and double dealers right from the very beginning. And I blame him for that. He should have cleaned house. He never should have allowed anybody who was a pro-Obama guy to stay with him in his administration. This country is filled with 355 million people. You could easily find a couple of thousand people to replace the Obama people. But
He didn't do it. He kept those people in, and those people stabbed him in the back at every possible turn. So if you've been following Now the End Begins for any length of time, and you read our articles, and you're signed up for our free subscription service, you know that we give you the truth the best that we're able to do it. And when we don't post all that many stories, 2, 3, 4 stories per day, tops. And the reason for that is I'm not trying to give you quantity. I'm trying to give you quality. I'm trying to give you things that that the Lord has put in front of me that I know to be true, and things that are absolutely real. You don't have to be like Q and start making stuff up, because the truth is one of the most exciting things that you'll ever hear. It is the most exciting thing that you'll ever hear. And the truth about what's happening in America and around the world with the New World Order and the vaccines and the digital identification, the truth about all of that doesn't need a lie to make it more exciting, because the truth is the truth. Kamala Harris, she said that the riots were not going to stop. Kamala Harris said from day one that you could expect to see these riots, and they were not going to go away. And that's exactly what has happened. And the very first day, yesterday, of O'Biden's presidency, the very first day, you had massive riots in Seattle with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They set a bus on fire, and they did all sorts of junk like that. But she told you that that was coming, and she told you this back in June. Let me see if I can find that clip. Kamala Harris said back in June that the riots, they were not going to stop, they were not going to go away, and they were not going to even slow down after the Democrats took power.
Claire, that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
So that was spoken by the woman who is now Vice President of the United States. And she told us back in June that even if the Democrats were successful, and even if they got Congress and the Senate and the White House, that she had it on excellent sources that the riots were never going to stop. They were never going to go away. And so I think it is very fitting that on day one of the Biden-Harris administration, here was the headline from yesterday: liberal media completely silent as Antifa and Black Lives Matter celebrate day one of Biden-Harris administration with domestic terrorism. A group of BLM and Antifa protesters shut down traffic in downtown Seattle on Wednesday night following the inauguration of President Joe Biden. The video showed multiple cars and buses being stopped by the protesters as they set a large banner ablaze on fire. That's day one. This is how the Biden administration got off to its start. It's a little bit on the crazy side if you ask me, but this is exactly what Kamala Harris said that you could expect. Another thing that happened on day one, Anthony Fauci, he got together with Joe Biden, and they decided that one of O'Biden's, I guess I'm just going to keep calling him O'Biden, because what you're seeing is Barack Obama's third term. That's what Joe Biden represents. Joe Biden represents Barack Obama's third term, the one where everything got shut down. And this ministry, Now the End Begins, began with the presidency of Barack Obama, and back early in 2009, Now the End Begins was launched. So we brought you over 1,300 stories about Barack Obama's first 8 years as president, and we showed you all the nasty stuff that he did and all the anti-God and anti-Christian and anti-biblical things that Barack Obama did. So what you're seeing now with Joe Biden is you're seeing the conclusion of the reign of Barack Obama. That's why Joe Biden is bringing in all these Obama cronies and Obama appointees and reviving all of the Obama policies, like the Paris Climate Accord and the Iranian nuclear treaty and all these different things. And they are going to shut down the XL pipeline up in Canada. And they are going to put thousands and thousands of Americans out of work. And Canada is not happy with that. But this is what they're doing. And one of the things that Donald Trump put into place was called the Mexico City policy. And the Mexico City policy, you can Google it and look it up, but the Mexico City policy prohibited organizations overseas that receive U.S. health assistance funding from promoting or performing abortions. It's called the Mexico City policy. And it prevents foreign organizations that the United States gives health funding to. It prevents them from performing abortions with that money. Well, Anthony Fauci, who is absolutely part of the New World Order, and we showed you that back on December 11th of 2001, we showed you that great photo of Fauci with Bill Gates Sr. and David Rockefeller and George Soros at the Carnegie Awards, and they're all congratulating themselves for what a great job that they're all doing with the New World Order. But Anthony Fauci is not a new player. He's been on the scene for 40 years, and he is absolutely part of the New World Order. Well, he got together with President O'Biden 2 days ago, and he said, you know, it would be a great thing if we could get rid of this Mexico City policy and if we can restore funding for overseas abortions. Did you know that every day in the United States, on average, 3,200 abortions are performed? And in what you might call an ironic twist, about 60% of all the abortions that are performed on black babies and babies of color. Isn't that ironic in a very sad way, in a very disgusting way? The very same Democrats who are telling you about diversity and tolerance and inclusion, and they want to get rid of systemic racism. About 60% of every abortion in America is on a black baby. And abortion is something that is absolutely demanded by the Democrats. Can you see how sick and disgusting that this is? Can you see how unbelievably perverted and grotesque it is that the very same people who are demanding abortion as health care, 60% of all those abortions are black babies. So you really don't have to look too deep. You don't have to go far at all until you begin to see how crooked and corrupt this whole thing is. It is unbelievably crooked and corrupt. Did you know that Planned Parenthood, started by a white woman by the name of Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger believed that black babies were like weeds and you had to get rid of them. Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist. Margaret Sanger adopted the Nazi policy of a superior race. And this is what Planned Parenthood was formed to do. It was to weed out the inferior to make room for the superior. So the founder of Planned Parenthood, that organization that is championed by people like Adam Schiff and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and all of those people, was originally called the Negro Project. And Planned Parenthood was created to reduce the numbers of black babies. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Why don't you go Google it? Why don't you just go type in the words Negro Project into any search engine that you want to look at, and you'll see very, very quickly that everything that I'm telling you about Margaret Sanger is 100% true. And Planned Parenthood is nothing more than Adolf Hitler's extermination factories, but on a much wider scale, killing more people than he ever dreamed about. Adolf Hitler wanted to get rid of the Jews. Planned Parenthood wants to get rid of the blacks. That's why 6 out of every 10 abortions that are performed on black babies. Can you think of anything that's more racist than that? And yet the Democrats are demanding their right to kill black babies. This is the sick world that we live in. This is the absolutely disgusting world that we find ourselves in. But the Bible told us all about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Everybody's talking about the strong Catholic faith of Joe Biden and how Joe Biden is ushering in the new religion of the new America. And he actually is. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Apostle Paul wrote that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And he gives 18 different facets of the end times. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, without natural affection. 18 hallmarks of the end times. And every single one of those 18 characteristics are characteristics of Antichrist. Paul is telling you what's going to be taking place in the last days of the time of Jacob's trouble leading into the Great Tribulation. And we are watching those last days assemble themselves right here and right now. We get taken out in the pre-tribulation rapture on what we like to call Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. But those last days are the time of Jacob's trouble. And we are so close to that that we are watching an unsaved world preparing to receive Antichrist. That is happening in front of our eyes every single day. And that's why QAnon makes me so mad. Because their lies that they twist and pervert and they mix in the Bible to confuse you. And they want to get you off the track. They want to get you on the sidelines. They want to get you out of the game. You can't believe the Bible and believe QAnon at the same time. You can't believe Bible prophecy and believe the junk that have been in those emails that everybody's been forwarding to everybody else. That is demonic deception. What I just read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, that is the truth. And you can't believe both at the same time. Either you're going to be an evangelist for QAnon, or you're going to be a preacher and a teacher for Jesus Christ with the gospel of the grace of God, but you cannot do both. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? When you believe the lies of QAnon, you can no longer teach anybody Bible truth, because QAnon doesn't have any truth. They don't have any Bible. Everything that they say is tainted. It's a perversion. It's a distortion. And you can't keep your testimony and believe those emails. And if you're putting your hope and faith in Donald Trump to come riding back from Florida on a white horse and to restore America, then you're already deceived. Because that's not going to happen. He's not going to do that. And besides, why do you put so much trust and faith in America? Don't you have a better country? Don't you have a different home? Aren't we supposed to be Bible believers who are looking to be taken out of here, not people who are in love with this world? Hebrews 11:16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And that city is not America. That city is not the United States. The city that God has prepared for us who believe is New Jerusalem. Those are our John 14 mansions. Why do you want to cling to America? America is dead. It's over. It's done. This was just sent to me right before showtime today. A screen capture from the CEO of Gab.com. A lot of people have been going to Gab as a replacement for Twitter. And Gab.com, I actually have an account there. And it is every time that I try to access it, the servers are very overburdened and I can never actually post anything. So I haven't really done much of anything with my profile. But here's an interesting comment made by the CEO of Gab. He says this: it's really important for Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant Christians to unite against the rise of communism in the West. We share in common our love for Christ. Let's start there and work together to stop this great evil. If not, they are coming for all of us. So here you have the CEO of Gab.com, and what is he doing? Well, that sounds like he's calling for the one world religion of Chrislam. The very same thing that Pope Francis has been working on so passionately and so strongly to bring in the New World Religion. If you're a Catholic, you've been taught to believe that the Catholic Church is against abortion. And you've been taught to believe that the Catholic Church stands against the LGBTQ lifestyle. And the Catholic Church stands against the gender perversion of the transgender movement. But let me tell you something. Pope Francis doesn't believe any of that. Pope Francis is openly pro-homosexual. Pope Francis is openly pro-abortion. Pope Francis has already made a league with Joe Biden, and he hasn't given Joe Biden one single word of rebuke. Not only that, Pope Francis is now, by his own testimony, Pope Francis has become a gay-affirming religious leader. That's right. You heard me say that correctly. I'll say it again. Pope Francis has become a gay-affirming pope. He is openly and actively in favor of lesbians, transgenders, queers, homosexuals, whatever you identify, whichever gender that you want to identify as. Pope Francis has no problem with any of it. And not because we're accusing him of something. This is because these are the comments that Pope Francis had been making. Just the other day, he baptized the three adopted children of a gay couple and welcomed them into the Catholic Church as Christians, as Catholics. I'm sorry, Catholics are not Christians, but he welcomed them into the Roman Catholic Church as Catholics in good standing. And this is Pope Francis doing this. So, whatever you may think is true about the Catholic Church, whatever you may think that you believe as what the stand of the Roman Catholic Pope is, I am telling you, and we have written articles about this, he is transgender affirming, he is LGBTQ plus affirming, and he has no problem with any of it. And Pope Francis is doing all these things because he is creating the New World Order. And he is creating the one world religion. And if you think that I am giving him more power than I should be, you need to read Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Revelation 17 shows you a spiritual leader over a spiritual kingdom. And that's the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 18 shows you the same person, but instead of being a religious leader, he is a king over world kingdoms. And the Roman Catholic Church is the spiritual side, and the Holy See at Vatican City, that is the political side. Pope Francis is the Pope over the Church, that's Revelation 17, the Catholic Church, and he is the king of the Holy See at Vatican City, that is the political side. And so he has been working for the last, I don't know, actively, I'll say since February of 2019. So he's been working for almost 2 years now to create the one world religion. And the person that helped him to get that started was Rick Warren. And when we started this ministry back in 2009, we warned people just the way that we're warning about Q. We warned people about Rick Warren. He's kind of faded into the background. He's not really a factor. He did the job that he was chosen to do. And he has passed the baton to Pope Francis. But listen to what Rick Warren said just a couple of years ago.
Authenticity, humility, Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. Mm-hmm. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know.
Did you hear Rick Warren call Pope Francis our new Pope? Why would he do that? Christians don't have a Pope. Christians aren't part of the Roman Catholic system. Why do you think that they have always been called Roman Catholics? They're not called Roman Christians. I was a Roman Catholic for 29 years before I got saved. I know what they believe and I know what they teach. But they're not called the Roman Christian Church. They're called the Roman Catholic Church. So here you have the CEO of Gab, and he's calling for all of these different factions to unite. And that's the one world religion of Antichrist. So you're going to start seeing this one world religion of Antichrist everywhere. And if you have fallen for the lies of Q, you might just fall for the lies of the one world religion. And I don't want you to do that. It breaks my heart to see born again, saved people, Christians, falling for the lies of the enemy. Let's take a listen to Tucker talking about the new surveillance powers of the Biden administration, and then we're going to show you a few things that took place on Inauguration Day. Here's Tucker talking about the new surveillance powers of the new regime.
When the rest of the media and many in the Congress were either ignoring or making excuses for the riots we saw for months in this country, we came out on the air almost every night and told you we oppose political violence of all kinds. On January 6th, there was political violence at the Capitol, and we opposed that. But one thing that we oppose every bit as much is the destruction of the civil liberties that make this America, make it a country you would want to live in. Now, that point used to be uncontroversial, particularly on the left. But now, outside a handful of principled, mostly far-left figures, none of the self-described liberals in the Congress will say this out loud. Instead, they're moving in the other direction at high speed. Democrats are rushing to embrace a new surveillance state in the wake of the January 6th insurrection, using that day as a pretext for creating, say, a new secret police force. Not making that up. We told you about this last night, and we mentioned specifically a member of Congress from Illinois, a character called Brad Schneider. Schneider says he'd like to pass something called the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. Apparently, Brad Schneider was watching last night. As you hear his reply, ask yourself, is this the guy you want in charge of preventing domestic terrorism? Here's how he responded, quote, "Do I want to see increased monitoring of the types of violent extremist domestic terrorists that attack the Capitol, leaving five people dead, including a police officer? Absolutely. The real question is why Tucker Carlson is okay with their deaths." Right. So if you have questions about handing Brad Schneider, whoever that guy is, the keys to your country, voiding the Bill of Rights because Brad Schneider demands that you do after the insurrection on January 6th, then you're for killing police officers. You want people to die. And maybe you need your civil liberties taken away. We'll see. Now, if this all sounds familiar, it is. Because every time something horrible happens, creepy little demagogues like Brad Schneider rush to the microphone and tell you, I'm sorry, you can't be free anymore. It happened after 9/11. 9/11, what does it have to do with January 6th? It seems like kind of an odd comparison. In fact, so disproportionate, it's laughable and offensive to the 3,000 people who died on 9/11. But members of Congress were invoking it anyway, by the way, from both parties. In the same briefing where Brad Schneider gave his stupid and scary opinions, another member of Congress, a former FBI agent called Brian Fitzpatrick, said we must adopt the same attitude toward domestic terrorism that we had toward Al-Qaeda after 9/11.
When you look at what our response was to 9/11, we said never again. We created a brand new department, a secretary-level position in the cabinet, in an entire new department, the Department of Homeland Security. We took a lot of steps to make sure that we were going to say never again were we going to experience something like 9/11. We need to have that same never again attitude towards domestic terrorism because both are an equal threat.
What? Who is this guy? Why is he in Congress? We think he's a Republican, by the way. Who cares? That's insulting. What happened on January 6th was on videotape. You saw it. It was bad. We denounced it. We'll denounce it again and every day because who cares? We feel that way. But to compare that to 9/11, if you're saying that with a straight face, you're a liar and you have an agenda that should make all of us nervous. But a lot of them do. Another congressman, Luke Correa, admitted that the, quote, Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act is just the beginning. There's a lot more domestic spying to be done, he promised.
This is the first step in a long procession of actions we have to take to make sure we address the issue of other Americans terrorizing other Americans in this great country.
Yeah, okay. The next step in a long procession of actions. Okay, let's just be completely clear. Unlike many of the people you see calling for a new secret police force to be created, we're against all political violence. But no matter how much of it occurs, we are still Americans. We were born here. We have the right to say whatever we believe, period. You cannot abridge that right. We have the right not to be spied on by our own government for having political opinions that people in power disagree with, period. And anyone who tries to take those rights away is a far greater threat to this country than anyone who showed up on the Capitol on January 6th, period. And everybody should say that because it's true. And it would be true if the roles were reversed and the other party was apart. It doesn't matter. These are immutable, undying principles that form the basis of American history and culture and life. And when they cease to be at the center of our national life, you ought to leave. Because it's not worth living in a country like that.
So there you have Tucker, and he's talking about all of the new rules and regulations and the things that are going to be part of the Biden administration. So let's talk about the inauguration that took place on Wednesday. Many of you may have noticed that Lady Gaga, who sang the national anthem, that she had this strange-looking bird on her black shirt. And she had a very unique type of hairstyle, and she was wearing this long, flowing red skirt. And for those of you who have children that have watched The Hunger Games, you know that she dressed exactly like that character in The Hunger Games. And she was trying to show you what she was doing there, why she was there, and the importance of what happened when she performed the national anthem. If you have not seen The Hunger Games, this is the plot. In what was once North America, the capital of Panem maintains its hold on its 12 districts by forcing them each to select a boy and a girl called tributes to compete in a nationally televised event called The Hunger Games. Every citizen must watch as the youths fight to the death until only one remains. District 12 tribute, Katniss Everdeen, has little to rely on other than her hunting skills and sharp instincts in an arena where she must weigh survival against love. And that's what the premise of The Hunger Games was all about. So, ask yourself, why would Lady Gaga, who is a Satan worshiper, and we have told you about Lady Gaga from the very, very beginning. We did a story back in, well, here's a really old story, April 29th of 2011. So this story is 10 years old, and I apologize for the formatting, because our website has changed drastically over the years, as it's grown and expanded, and the format that we have today is not the format that we had back in the beginning in terms of a graphical layout. But here is an article that we did 10 years ago entitled Lady Gaga Proudly Sings for the Devil. And you might remember that she had a song on her album 10 years ago called Judas. And it was a love song that was dedicated to Judas. And let's see if I can quickly pull up the lyrics. I won't play a song like that. But this is what she said. The lyrics from Judas. I'm in love with Judas. I'm in love with Judas. When he calls to me, I am ready. I will wash my feet. Why wash his feet with my hair if he needs me? I will bring him down, a king with no crown, a king with no crown. I'm just a holy fool, it's so cruel. I'm still in love with Judas. And of course, she is saying that she is willing to wash the feet of Judas with her hair. The way that Mary with the alabaster box wash the feet of Jesus Christ. And so Lady Gaga from the very beginning has been a devil worshiper. She's been a Satanist. She did a halftime show for the Super Bowl back in 2017. And during this show, let's see what she did here. She did all sorts of things. There was New World Order symbolism, Illuminati symbolism, and she was presenting at the Super Bowl her demonic vision for the one world religion. So If you're a longtime reader of Now the End Begins, we've been warning you about Lady Gaga for well over a decade now. We have been wise to her tricks and devices from the very, very beginning. So it's no coincidence and it's no accident that she was selected by the Biden Commission to perform the national anthem. Remember, the Hunger Games takes place in North America after America has fallen. And Lady Gaga, dressed up as one of the main characters from the Hunger Games, who had that thing on her shirt, which was the bird of prey. It was the Mockingjay is what it was. And that's exactly what Lady Gaga had on her clothing. And Jeanette pointed out, and maybe she can post that picture in the chat room right now, Lady Gaga was wearing black gloves, and when she was singing the national anthem, she made a fist with her left hand with the black glove, and she raised that fist, and that is the official symbol of the Black Lives Matter group, and it is a Marxist symbol. That black fist is a Marxist symbol. And that's exactly what she raised up over America. And she is dressed like the character from the Hunger Games because she is showing it is a mockery of Jesus Christ. It is a promotion of Judas. And it is evil and it is demonic. And that's why she was selected to sing the national anthem as... And there it is. Jeanette put that picture in the chat room. There is the black fist of Marxism. And that has been a symbol of the Soviet Union since 1917. You may remember that on New Year's Eve, the Muslim mayor of London incorporated into their fireworks display that, now he couldn't make it a black fist because it wouldn't show up. It was a fireworks show. But the Muslim mayor of London, he added the black Marxist fist of Black Lives Matter to their fireworks display from the same country that gave us the King James Bible, the same country that gives us absolute time with Greenwich Mean Time, absolute temperature with British thermal units, absolute truth with the King James Bible, same country, same people, and now England gave us the Marxist fist raised up over the world on New Year's Eve. And that's exactly what we saw happen on Wednesday. Not only that, I have shared with you many, many times that since I was in high school, my dad was in the Air Force during World War II. And I used to love to try on his Air Force outfit, his uniform. And he was Army Air Force, because when my dad joined the Air Force, there was no Air Force as a separate unit. When he signed up in 1943, the Air Force was part of the Army. So my dad was Army Air Force. And I used to love to put on his dress blues and his hat and his uniform. And I used to love to look in the mirror and pretend that I was in the Air Force like my dad. And it made me want to really, really study the history of World War II. And, of course, if you study the history of World War II, you by default have to study the history of Nazi Germany, because it was Adolf Hitler and the Nazis that started World War II. But there was a filmmaker in Hitler's Germany by the name of Leni Riefenstahl, and she created these very evocative and emotional and beautifully filmed movies about the Third Reich, and they were really documentaries, but she did it with angles and lighting, and it was really, really beautiful, but beautiful in a very twisted way, because she was taking something that was evil and she was showing it to you in a beautiful manner to make you want to buy into it. Again, kind of like what Q does. And Leni Riefenstahl, she made these movies about the Third Reich, these documentaries, and they were all black and white, and they had tons of dramatic lighting. And that's exactly what you saw connected with the Biden inauguration. You saw that same style of dramatic lighting that Leni Riefenstahl used when she filmed Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. She called it a cathedral of light. Well, that's exactly what Joe Biden had on the night before he was inaugurated. He had that cathedral of light, and it was shining over not a sea of people, but it was shining over a sea of American flags because the people had been removed. And I don't know about you, that is one of the creepiest things that you could ever possibly imagine, but there's going to be a whole lot more creepier things than that coming to us from the Biden administration. But suffice to say that they decided to follow the footsteps of Hitler's biographer and create a cathedral of light over a field of flags. And if you don't see the symbolism there, if you don't understand that that is a false flag operation, that shouldn't fill you with pride. That should terrify you, because they are telling you and they are showing you what is coming with a Biden administration. Now, the good news is, if you're a Bible believer, we are watching America being destroyed. We are watching this nation that we have known for the last 245 years. We are watching it all being ripped down to the ground. So what's the good news? The good news is we're getting out of here. The good news is because we are watching the formation of the New World Order, and we are rightly understanding that America has to fall in order for this New World Order to be brought in, that can only mean one thing, that we are literally on the very precipice of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That's how close that we are to all of this. And I understand it is a scary thing to watch the formation of this New World Order. It's terrifying, actually. It bothers me. I know it bothers you. But we told you this was coming 12 years ago. We told you that America would be betrayed by the very people who were sworn to protect her. What we wrote was, for generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom to people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those sworn to protect her, her leaders. And we wrote this to you 12 years ago. This is the position that we have always had, and this is the position that we will always have. We are not anti-America. We are very much pro-America. But America has been taken over by her enemies. And the Biden administration is part of God's judgment on this country for 40 years of abortions, for 40 years of kicking God out of schools and no more prayer, and kicking the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms, and saying that God's two genders are now not the only genders that you can have. And the White House website has been updated to reflect the 72 genders. And Joe Biden, he has sworn that he is going to be the child transgender president. That is a promise that he made while he was still running for president. Joe Biden said that he, and I can't find the clip immediately, but I have played that clip for you many, many times, that Joe Biden promised on day one that he would pass executive orders that will promote transgenderism for children. And he did that yesterday. Go look it up. If you don't believe me, go to Google and check it out. And Joe Biden, he's doing all these things. But just like in 1924, 1925, Adolf Hitler wrote Mein Kampf. And he told the whole world what he was going to do if he ever got out of jail and if he ever got power. And then he was let out of jail. And then by 1933, he was the Chancellor of Germany. And what did he do? He did everything that he promised he would do. And he exterminated 50% of every single Jewish person on the face of the earth. He kept his promise. He broadcast his promise. And people didn't believe him. People did not believe him that he was going to do those things. They thought there is no way that that could ever happen. And guess what? Those things did happen. And Adolf Hitler kept his promises. Joe Biden has already promised you when he was campaigning in his basement. He already told you what he was going to do. And he is doing those things right now. He is passing the executive orders that he said that he would pass. And let me see, I think I found the clip, just so there may be some of you who have not heard that clip. Here it is. Take a listen.
I'm the proud mom of two girls, 8 and 10. My youngest daughter is transgender. The Trump administration has attacked the rights of transgender people, banning them from military service, weakening non-discrimination protections, and even removing the word transgender from some government websites. How will you, as president, reverse this dangerous and discriminatory agenda and ensure that the lives and rights of LGBTQ people are protected under U.S. law?
I will flat out just change the law, eliminate those executive orders, number one. You may recall, I'm the guy who said, I was raised by a man who, I remember I was being dropped off. My dad was a...
So there you have Joe Biden, and he's promising that on day one, which was 2 days ago, actually yesterday. Yesterday was day one. I'm getting my days all confused here. Yesterday was day one for Joe Biden, and he passed an executive order allowing transgenders into the ladies' bathroom. So if you are the parent, if you're the dad of, say, a beautiful 10-year-old girl, and you go shopping at Target, and you think that you can just let her go to the bathroom by herself, let me tell you something, you cannot. And I don't know about you, but if I had kids that were young kids, I would not. If I saw a transgender in the bathroom with my daughter, you can best believe I would be in that bathroom protecting her. And every single parent needs to think that way. The vast majority of transgenders are pedophiles and homosexuals. And, you know, if that's hate speech, then let it be hate speech. But there's no way that I would let those perverts be in the same bathroom as my daughters. Just no way. And I just put an image into the chat room where you can see that on the contact form, on WhiteHouse.gov, they have added a section for pronouns. You can call yourself she, her, he, him, they, them. You can prefer not to share your pronouns, or you can select other. This is the world that we live in. Now, who created two genders? Have you ever wondered who created male and female? In Genesis chapter 5, we have the answer. Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam, in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. It is God who created the two genders. It is God who created man and woman. So if you have more than two genders, God didn't create that. Anything past the first two genders, that is the creation of man. That is a device of the devil. And this is what the administration is standing behind. So, in conclusion, we have about 2 minutes left. In conclusion, let me just say that if you got sucked into that QAnon nonsense, I am praying for you. I am not judging you. I am not wagging my finger in your face and making fun of you. I am not saying I told you so. I understand how easy it is to get sucked up into something that sounds good, but it's not good. And if you want to email me, info@nowtheendbegins.com, I'll be happy to correspond with you or talk with you on the phone. And if I can help you through it, I'll be very, very happy to help you through it. But this QAnon stuff, going forward at Now the End Begins, we're going to have a zero tolerance policy. I will not allow any QAnon theories to be promoted through this website. You can talk about it, but if you come to this website and you promote things about the United States and Donald Trump and on January 24th, a secret deal is going to be signed and the government's going to be taken over by Trump's military, those comments will no longer be allowed on Now the End Begins. I have declared war, not on people deceived by Trump, by QAnon, but I have declared war on QAnon. And Now the End Begins is not going to be a platform in any way, shape, or form for that demonic garbage. Estevic says it seems irrelevant at this point. No, it is not irrelevant because QAnon's not going away. So we will continue to warn Christians about that. You can see what the Joe Biden administration, they started with the Nazi Cathedral of Light. They started with Lady Gaga singing the North American National Anthem dressed as the character from Hunger Games. They started with 28,000 armed troops around the Capitol. And then the very next day they kicked them to the curb. And thousands of National Guard are being forced to sleep in parking garages because Nancy Pelosi, now that she no longer needs them for the theatrical effect, she has now waved her filthy, knotted, gnarled hand, and she has dismissed them. And it is absolutely shameful how the Democrats are treating the very same military that they begged them to protect just a few days ago. But why is this happening? Because it is all theater. It is absolutely all theater. And I promise you, as much as the Lord allows me to do so, I promise you that Now the End Begins will continue to stay on the front lines of the end times, and that we will stand on the King James Authorized Version Holy Bible. We will do our best to not waver, and we are going to continue to rightly divide Bible truth. We are going to continue to be dispensationally correct. We're going to call out doctrinal error as we have always done. And we thank you for being part of this ministry and for standing with us. Now the End Begins is bigger now than we ever have been. We've already passed our million view mark for the month of January, and we still have another week to go. More people than ever are visiting Now the End Begins, and we're so glad to have you here, and we're so grateful for this ministry that God has given us. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for supporting and for praying for this ministry and for me personally. Thank you for all the great cards and letters that you've been sending, and all those letters of support and the gifts that some of you have sent. It's just, it's truly overwhelming, and I appreciate it so very, very much. And, as we go forward in these dark days of the Biden administration, we just need now more than ever to realize that we are getting out of here on Flight 777 soon and very soon, and that this world is not our home and this world has nothing for us. And we need to be ready to go and to be very busy about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ while we wait for our flight to take off. Thank you for tuning in today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning for another NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic at the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York as people were fleeing from a crumbling building. There were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying
Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run!